31. So you follow along as I read. We're going to read 31 to 35, and then we're going to jump over to 56 to 58. So Matthew 26, verse 31. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written. Now, when he says, for it is written, what's he referring to? He's referring to the Bible that has already been written, Old Testament scripture, if you please. And he's going to be quoting Zechariah here. So it says, what Zechariah said, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be what? Scattered. In other words, the followers of Christ, because of him being smitten, the followers would scatter and disperse. Scattered abroad, even, it says. Then verse 32, but after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Here comes Peter. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men should be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. In other words, three times. Verse 35, Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. So some others chimed in. Yeah, that's right, Peter. Well, Lord, no matter what, even if we die, we're not leaving you. We're not going to forsake you. Great intentions, very good. Let's see. So we're going to jump now to verse 56. But this was all done, or all this was done, that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples, what? Forsook him and fled. So even though we saw good intentions, even though they even voiced their intentions, Lord, we're not forsaking you, we're not going anywhere. Yet here we see they all forsook him and fled. Verse 57. And they that laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. Watch this now. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. And we'll stop there. We're going to come back and see some other verses here in the lesson, but let's go ahead and pray and launch into it. Lord, we're thankful to be here this morning. As always, we open the Bible with anticipation. We realize that we hold in our hands the very Word of God that you have preserved for us, and to that we're very grateful. As we look at it this morning and examine its contents, we see stories, if you will, not fables, but accounts, true accounts that are recorded for us that teach us great things. The purpose of us looking at these great things, these truths, these illustrations, these examples, is that so that we can learn life lessons to help us see what we should follow or things that we should shun. And so I pray that you'll help us today. May the Holy Spirit be the supreme teacher in this lesson. We'll thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I said earlier, an education in daily life often comes through the school of hard knocks, and so it is with Peter. He certainly had some hard knocks. We've seen many of those already. We're on lesson 10, and many of the previous lessons we've seen Peter putting his foot in his mouth or other crazy things. I do want to throw this in there. You know, we give Peter a hard time, and sometimes he deserves it, but Peter's a good man. Peter sometimes shows us really how we are in many cases. But Peter went on. We're going to see Peter here making this mistake. He had good intentions. He stood afar off, we see. We'll talk on each of those points here in a minute. But in the end, he repented and had restoration, and that's what's so vital. Sure, we fall, and we will fall. But the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus will help us get up. A just man falleth seven times and yet rises again. And so Peter, of course, went on. We see him preaching the great message at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And of course then penned two epistles in the New Testament, 1 Peter and 2 Peter, those epistles that bear his name. And so he's a great man, but he did make mistakes, but then we all do. And so that's important to keep in mind. All right, well, that brings us right up to the first thing on your sheet, the first introductory lesson. One of the chief tools in Satan's arsenal is developing overconfidence in the life of the believer. That is your first statement, right? Okay. Without the things on the wall, I may get a little confused here, but we'll be okay. So, yeah, overconfidence. You know, we've got to be careful about using that word, and I use it. I use it about being confident in the Lord. But we have to be careful of the context of that word and the real definition of that word, because we are to be bold. That's probably a better word. We are to be bold in the Lord and for the Lord, but not so much this idea of self-confidence, because in me I can do nothing. In fact, the Lord told us, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. He says, look, I am your source of strength. I am your source of boldness. I am the source of whatever you need to live the Christian life and to succeed and to be the Christian witness and be the Christian ambassador that you ought to be. And so we need the Lord. But if we're not careful, Satan can woo us and deceive us and get us thinking that, yeah, you know, I got this all figured out. I'm pretty good at this. And you know, we get overconfidence. We got to be careful about that. Of course, Peter was a God-called and God-gifted man. But he was also a man who was very sure of himself. And we see that in Scripture. We've seen it already, and we see it again today. He was easy to just blurt out, boy, you could see he was sure about himself. And he made this bold statement to the Lord, I'll never leave you. And praise the Lord for the motive. But as we see in Scripture, it didn't quite pan out that way. So Peter was confident in the fact that even though others would leave, he said, if all men depart, leave, deny you, I'm going to stick by your side. Well, the next one on your sheet there is this. God's word warns us against this very attitude of self-confidence. So hold your place in Matthew. Let's take a look at this scripture, 1 Corinthians 10. This ought to be somewhat familiar to you, but let's take a look at it. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 12. 1 Corinthians 10, Well, let's read verse 11 and 12. Verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And then verse 12. Wherefore, let him, that's any believer, let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. So we need to take heed to ourselves and be careful that, you know, we may think we're, you know, what's he talking about? He's talking about that overconfidence. We may think we're so confident that nothing's going to go wrong, but he said be careful about that. Your strength needs to be in the Lord, not in yourself. And so when it comes to standing and taking a stand, that's what Peter is talking about here. In fact, he wrote about it, and we're going to see this in our lesson, and we'll see it in the next hour. Something that Peter wrote, but he talks about standing, and it ought to be our desire to stand, to take a stand, especially in this wicked. Are you listening? This wicked, hostile world. What do you mean hostile? Hostile against Christianity. It is hostile, and we'll talk more about that next hour. So I want you to remember that as we get into the sermon later on. But Peter's response, it's a warning for us. And so let's get into our outline here. Peter's willing boastfulness. Peter's, that's number one. Peter's willing boastfulness. So we're back in chapter 26, and let's refresh our memory in verse 33. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men should be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended. Boy, he was being boastful there, and he really just put it out there. But hold your place. Look at Mark now. We're going to look at a parallel passage in Mark 14. Matthew, Mark 14. I'm going to use our Bibles here a bit. Verse 29, Mark 14, 29. Peter said unto him, this is the same story, same account, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And so there he's saying the exact same thing that he said in Matthew. Not me, Peter's saying, I'm going to continue through. So this, his response is a warning for believers today. The moment that we begin to think we are better than others or that we're unlike others, we begin to delude ourselves. We get a little bit delusional. It's that, hey, we all have the same flesh. We all possess a sinful nature. Hey, yeah, we're all saved by grace, but we still possess a sinful nature. We are still prone to wonder. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love, the songwriter said. And so we must be careful about that. And Peter, we see this example in Peter. His second statement was, in not only what I would leave thee, but he said, I'll never be offended. Anytime we think that we would, here's the word, never do something, I'll never do that, I would never do that, we need to remember other examples in Scripture. Noah, I'm sure, concerning Peter, he would stand with Christ. He would stand with Christ. That's just write down Mark 14, 29. We really don't have time to turn to every scripture. We'll be late, really late. I'll read it for you. It says, but Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. As always, Peter had good intentions, and we sometimes are the same. And because of his good intentions, he made a brave resolution. But, next thing on your sheet there, it should be the goal of every believer to stand, of course. And there is no nobler place to stand than by the side of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 6:13 tells us, and having done all, to stand. And of course, the great hymn, stand up for Jesus. We need to be able to take a stand. And again, we're going to talk about that in the next hour. It's pretty cool. Last week, what did I preach on last week? Let's see here. Wasn't Esther. Psalm 13. And that whatever the topic was. It's bad, isn't it? The Sunday school lesson and the sermon kind of lined up. I didn't plan it that way. Well, today the Sunday school lesson and the sermon are going to line up, but I didn't plan it that way. It wasn't until I was already preparing that I go, hey, wait a minute, this is quite like the lesson. So it's cool how the Lord does that. Amen. So yeah, we ought to be able to stand. Let me read this passage for you, Ephesians 6, 13 and 14. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. We're going to see this passage next hour. That ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Then he starts the next verse. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. So the Christian, you and I, certainly ought to have a desire to stand and to encourage others to stand by his words and by his example. But we should consider the spirit in which we announce to others how we're going to stand. And it needs to be, that needs to be with a humble heart and not out of an attitude of self-reliance. And hence our lesson today, don't be self-reliant. Don't think it's all about you. Don't think you're going to do it. If you stand, it'll be because the Lord gave you the grace and the strength and the wherewithal to do just that. And on the flip side of that, we can't be wimpy and passive. We at least have to have the desire to stand, and then the Lord enables us to do that. Let's go to letter B. Not only would he stand with Christ, but here he would die with Christ. Now here is the passage in Luke. Let's go ahead and turn to that one because we didn't see that. Luke 22:33. Let's see how he says it here. Luke 22, verse 33. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And so Peter makes this, again, a bold resolution that he would even die. He went on to say that with the Lord, he would be with the Lord, he would stay with the Lord to the end, even if it meant giving his very life. He would not deny the Lord. He said, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death." Now, keep in mind, here's a man who was truly, get that word, truly, he was truly in love with the Lord Jesus. I don't doubt that for a moment. And he declared himself to make the ultimate sacrifice for his Lord. That's a great thing. In fact, he'd heard Jesus say these words, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man," can you finish the verse? "Lay down his life for his friend." And so he had heard the Lord say that very statement, and so now he's ready to live that very thing. But it's not, he's not going to be able to follow through, as we'll see here shortly. We have to ask ourselves this question. I posed this question a week or two ago in our lesson. We have to ask ourselves, am I ready to die for Christ? And I think I said, what if a terrorist or, you know, some crazy came through the back doors and took the service hostage and pressed the gun barrel to your head and said, "Denounce Christ or you'll die." You better be ready to know what you're going to do in that moment. I recall that brings back to memory the Columbine massacre years ago. Columbine, what state was that?
Colorado,
yeah, thank you. And I don't remember the girl's name, but there was a girl in that classroom who went through that exact scenario. The young man who had the gun put it to her head and told her to renounce God or whatever, Christ. And she would not. And she took a stand and said, I'm not going to do that. Of course, he pulled the trigger and she went into eternity. A martyr for her Lord. That's tough. That's tough for us to think about that kind of stuff. We don't want to think about that. And Lord, spare us from ever having to go through that. And we've had it good for many years. Centuries, a couple centuries now. In this country, but the day may come where you're going to have to take a stand like that. And again, we don't want to think about those kind of things, but we have to prepare ourselves in advance. What would I do if? And that's something we should think about. No doubt we would all desire to die pleasing the Lord rather than live a life of shame, having denied him. But your next statement there will be this, but as we see with Peter, in his example here, our flesh can let us down in the moment. That's what we have to always be mindful of. That this flesh that we wear, this flesh that we have, this sinful flesh, of course, the devil and the world fighting against us too, but it can let us down. In those dark hours of Christ's arrest and his trial, Peter would obviously fear for his life. Sadly, he would not keep the bold boast that he made in those passages. What a sobering reminder of our need for the Lord every hour and for how easy it is for our flesh to betray even the very best of intentions. So that's a good lesson. Matthew 26, look at verse 41. We're there. That's the chapter we're in, actually. Verse 41 says, "Watch and pray." I think we saw this last week. "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation." Why? "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And so Peter had good intentions when he followed the Lord up to the garden to pray. Here he's got good intentions to follow the Lord and stay close to him and even makes these bold proclamations that, "Lord, I'll never leave you. I'll die with you if I need. I'll die if I need to." But let's go to number two now. Peter's wavering boldness. So he was willing. He made these bold proclamations, but now we're going to see it waver. As we continue looking at this passage here in Matthew 26, we see that Peter's bold boast of his intention to stand with Christ and to follow him even to death is about to be challenged. We notice where Peter had once been in the inner circle and very close to the Master. And during this time of danger and distress, he began to follow Jesus, get these words, afar off. over in verse 58, chapter 26, verse 58. So in verse 57, they led Jesus away to the high priest and the elders, etc. Verse 58, but Peter followed him afar off. He was once close to his side. In fact, he boldly said, Lord, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll even die for you. And now we find him in this crucial moment, the darkest hour, one of the darkest hours in the Lord's life, Peter's following from afar off. And there's a great lesson in that for us. Listen, we must always be purposeful in drawing nearer to the Lord Jesus Christ. The farther we get away from Christ, the more prone we are, listen, to do things or say things that we would never think we would do or say. If we were in his immediate presence, that is. And so we must be very careful about that. Letter A here is his departure. His departure. It's Mark 14:50, if you want to jot that down. I'll just read it for you. It's only 7 or 8 words long here. Mark 14:50, and they all forsook him and fled. They all forsook him and fled. It's really a heart-rendering thing when people forsake us. You know, we're talking about close earthly relationships. Someone forsakes us. Now imagine the desertion that the Lord felt by these men to whom were closest to him. They, after devoting 3 years side by side, night and day with the Lord, now they're fleeing. What hurt the Lord must have felt in that time. And this betrayal had to hurt him so deeply. His first command to these men, as we've seen many lessons ago, was follow me. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Boy, they put down their nets and they turned from their worldly occupations and they set out to follow the Lord Jesus. And now they have ceased to do so. How hurtful that is. I think of the Apostle Paul, who experienced similar on more than one occasion, but one I'm thinking of when he said, Demas hath forsaken me, loving this present world. Paul knew how it felt, how the Lord Jesus felt when someone close to him has deserted. Demas hath forsaken me, he said. And so that's a sad thing. I must remind us that Matthew 16 says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Well, this next part has, I think, 3 lessons there for you. Let's get into that one. It says, as believers, we need to realize that what Christ wants from us is to follow him. We need to realize that what Christ wants from us is to follow him. I think that's pretty self-explanatory. The next one is John 10:27, because this is clearly stated. My sheep hear my what? Voice. You probably could fill this in yourself without my help. And I know them, and they follow me. Right. They hear my voice, they follow me. Then the next one is this. It is good to remember that one of the great testimonies, one of the great testimonies that we can show to the world is that we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, you know, people at work should know that you're a follower of Christ. People in your neighborhood should know that you're a follower of Christ. That's a great testimony for the Lord when others know that we follow the Lord. All right, letter B is his decision. His decision. And here's the verses for that. Let me have you jot it down. Matthew 26, 58. Mark 14, 54. And Luke 22, 54. Let's just look at verse 58 here in Matthew 26, 58, because we're here. We'll just stay here. Verse 58. But Peter followed him afar off into the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. John 18:16 says this. I didn't give that one to you, but John 18:16. But Peter stood at the door without and went out. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door and brought in Peter. So, you know, I mentioned earlier that, you know, Peter's a good man. While we are often learning in this series all the things that Peter did wrong, it is true that he did not stay to the Lord during this time. But it's only fair to mention that he did make the right decision to follow. At least he is following. He made some good decisions, while others completely fled and are nowhere to be found. At least Peter is following to some extent, but the bad part is, the negative part, I guess, is that it was afar off. Next two statements on your sheet there. And this is important. Listen, get these lessons. When we make a decision that takes us out of the company of Christ, so I think your word is out there, takes us out of the company of Christ, we are often putting ourselves in the company of those who are not followers of Christ. The Bible tells us on many occasions how important it is that we surround ourselves with the right company. So I think surround and right are the blanks on that last one there. Surround ourselves with the right company. You might want to jot this one down, Proverbs 13:20. I'll read it for you. He that walketh with wise men shall be what? Wise. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Wow. So, and that's just one. There's many, many examples. 2 Corinthians 6:14. I'll read this one for you. Another good example. Be not equally yoked together with unbelievers. Boy, that's a clear command. And then he makes reason for it. He kind of brings in some logic here. He says, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And so forth. So, good argument there. There's plenty of places in Scripture that warn us about this very thing. Let's move on to letter C. Letter C, we see his denial. His denial. Now, we didn't read this part, so we're going to need to come back to chapter 26. And we're going to pick it up in verse 69. Matthew 26, verse 69. So, up until now, we see Peter's standing far off. He's kind of at the door. He wants to see how it's all going to play out. And now, verse 69. Now, Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou art so with this Jesus of Galilee. But he, what? Denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. I don't know what you're talking about. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, Oh, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. Wow. This is the same guy that said, Lord, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll even die for you. Wow. And then verse 73, and after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. Remember what Jesus said about the cock crowing? Here it is. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Your next lesson there is this. It is a wonderful thing when the world associates the believer with Christ, his church, and the things of the Lord. You see, these people, these three people that said, aren't you one of them? Hey, you were with Jesus. Surely you're one of them. Your speech bewrayeth thee, these three occasions. They recognized Peter for having been with Jesus at some point. They'd seen him with Jesus at some point in time. Otherwise, they wouldn't be saying that. Every time people saw Jesus, they probably saw Peter close by, and that was a wonderful testimony, but now he's denying. And I was going to tell you a verse there, but we better keep moving. Unfortunately, in the time of crisis, Peter found himself not ready to be associated with Jesus. He learned from this sad incident in his life and later would write. We have time for this one. Yeah, let's go to 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3. So we're going to see Peter, who went through all this stuff. Later, he's writing this epistle. 1 Peter 3:15. Should be a familiar verse to you, but let's look at it. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, watch now, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Be ready always. And so Peter wrote that later on. Let's move on here. Oh, wait, you got another blank to fill in. Had Peter stayed close to the Lord as he originally intended, he most certainly would not have denied Christ. So if he would have stayed close, he would not have denied Christ. But because he strayed from the presence of Christ, he found his self-reliance was not enough to enable him to keep his vow. Lord, I'll never die. I'll never leave you. As he's now relying on himself, that's never enough. He needed to be close to the Lord. Thirdly, Peter's weeping bitterness. His weeping bitterness. We just saw verse 75. He went out and wept bitterly. It's also mentioned in Mark 14:72. If you want to jot that other reference down, Mark 14:72. And Luke 22:62. As I mentioned earlier, like Peter, we will all stumble and fall in our walk with the Lord. And I quoted that verse. It's Proverbs 24:16. For a just man falleth seven times and rises up again. But your sheet, the next thing on your sheet there is this. What's imperative for the Christian to realize is that when we fall, we can get up again with Christ's help. We can get up again. When we fall, we can get up again with Christ's help. Letter A, his remembrance. We saw this when Peter heard when he heard the cock crowing. He said, what happened immediately? Oh, the words of the Lord. Boy, they're ringing in his head. Oh, yes. The words of the Lord. So he remembered. Also, Mark 14:72 tells us that, and Luke 22:61. When this was taking place, there had to be that moment when, you know, Jesus is with the soldiers or whoever, you know, captured him and took him into the Caiaphas. Peter's over there at the door, peering around the corner maybe, and Jesus, you know, maybe did one of these. Oh, when that look came to Peter, when they locked eyes, Peter's like, oh boy, it had to be so humiliating to have that look that Jesus gave him. Although it was a bitter remembrance for Peter, the word of the Lord worked a wonderful change in his heart. It brought about his repentance and restoration. It showed him beyond a doubt that the folly of self-reliance. And such a great lesson. Here's a good verse. Jot it down. Psalm 119, 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. It's a wise Christian who asks the Lord to bring his words into daily remembrance. Wouldn't you say so? If we say, Lord, help me to remember what your word says about everything I encounter today. Help me to be meditating on the Word. Help me bring to remembrance things that I've read before concerning different situations that I'll encounter in my daily life. Your next statement there would be this. When a Christian knows that he has a weakness in a certain area, he will greatly strengthen himself by memorizing and meditating on Scripture that deals with that particular weakness. So I think your blanks should be memorizing and meditating. God blesses our meditation on His Word. He blesses that. Letter B, His remorse. Okay, we saw that again in verse 75. He went out and wept bitterly. It also tells us that in Luke 22:62. So after the Lord's words were brought back to His mind, we see two commendable actions that takes place. He went out and wept bitterly, but He went out. What's that mean? He separated Himself from that bad crowd, that wrong crowd. He left the companion of those that had drawn Him, perhaps, into denying the Lord. He went off by Himself. That leads us to these two statements here. If we are going to draw close to the Lord, we need to draw away from the people and things of this world. We call that separation. If we're going to draw close to the Lord, we're going to need to step away or draw away from the things of this world and to people who do not help us in our Christian life. Then this one, divided loyalties are destructive to the Christian life. Divided loyalties are destructive to the Christian life. We have a couple verses here. I'll read them for you. You can jot the reference down. Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, right? I won't read the whole thing, but you know that verse. No man can serve two masters. 1 John 2:15-17 tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So we see Peter separating himself. Secondly, we see him repenting. And even though he was a tough fisherman, I'm sure crying wasn't necessarily an easy thing, but I'm sure Peter cried over this and just humbled himself and repented and was restored. The Bible reminds us that God resisteth the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. It's wonderful to see that Peter came to the full realization of his sin. What an encouragement to know that God forgave Peter and went on to use him in a powerful way, as I mentioned already. Well, I think we got two statements in the conclusion, and we'll finish. Satan will often attempt to give us a false sense of security and strength in our own self-reliance. Satan will often attempt to give us a false sense of security and strength in our own self-reliance. And then the last one, we must remember that our strength is not in ourselves, but solely of God. Solely of God. All right. Thank you for your attention. Let's take a break. We'll come back for the preaching hour here in a few moments. I am one.